Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome to the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute. Today's lecture will have the topic of cosmic laws. It is interesting, in fact, to see how the cosmic laws govern us. We, as human beings, as well as all of nature and the entire universe. These cosmic laws maintain order and harmony for balance in all creation. It is therefore very important to know these laws, to study them, and to understand them. Because when we leave these established, order established, the problems, difficulties, illnesses, obstacles, and sufferings stops. Literally, the word cosmos means order, and these cosmic laws exist to maintain order in the universe, so that it is firm in its march and it can present a wonderful scenario, so that all essences that need to express, need to come to life, can have a place to achieve the self-realization. We must start with these laws. We will talk about the cosmic laws, and we will start with the law of universal magnetism. We can observe the law of universal magnetism for all planets. All worlds magnetize each other. Each has its own magnetic force, allowing the worlds to be in harmony in the universe, to attract and repel according to the place they must take. There is the Sun with its so strong force which keeps the planets rotating around it. And the planets also have a certain electromagnetic force which allow them to not collide with the Sun, which allow them to remain at a certain distance from the Sun. This is what the law of universal magnetism allows. It supports the entire universe in harmony, in balance, in order. This is the law of universal magnetism. It is a law that can observe, but some might say, well, that's all very nice, but what's the use of knowing these cosmic laws? Yeah. Hermes Trismegistus, the three times great god Ibis of Thoth, tells us in his emerald tablet, whatever is below is like what is above. These laws, which are in the universe and which govern the entire universe, we must apply them in our life. When we apply them in our life, we live better. If we apply this law of universal magnetism, we will have less problems, because this law has many levels. For example, for a married couple, if we learn to handle this law, we can avoid a lot of problems, discussions, arguments, and even divorces. When there is too much light, we are dazzled. When there is too much noise, we are deadened. When the magnetic exchange between a man and a woman is too important, too frequent, then conflicts and arguments begin. It is a sort of rejection. A sort of rejection occurs. Man and woman are like the two poles of a magnet. One is positive and the other negative. And we must learn to handle these magnetic forces in a relationship. The law of universal magnetism applies everywhere. In our home, at work, in all existing groups, in politics, in the religious world, in a mystical group, in the world of work or family. By knowing this law, we can understand perfectly how the miniature universe that we are, that each one of us are, must be balanced. And as Hermes Trismegistus tells us so well, everything that is above is like everything that is below. We must learn to live in harmony in our home, in our work, in our religion or mystical groups, in our groups of friends, which always tend to structure themselves as the universe do. And when we learn to handling them, we avoid a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems. or pride, or greed, or envy, etc., are very important, fundamental factors which break the balance in the universe, which should exist in our family. For example, the father and mother are similar to the son in the home, in the house. And as the sun is very important, it has a very great electromagnetic force which allows it to rotate the planets around it, to keep the planets rotating around it. So, in the couple, or even if there is only the father or the mother alone in the family, it is necessary that they become the sun in the family. And for this, they must have a lot of spiritual strength, a lot of strength to keep their children around them. So we got to have a moral, spiritual, and emotional strength. So as a parent, as parents, we must succeed in keeping our children around. In life we live today, we often get angry. We like the rumors and what people say, and all this causes us to lose a lot of energy and time. We lose a lot of strength. This is why when we scold our children, they do not listen to us. They do not take it into account. They don't pay attention at all to what we say to them, because we don't have this moral force, this emotional force, this spiritual force of the sun to keep the family together, to keep these little planets around the sun that we are or that we should become. And as children, it's the same thing. We must stay in our place, keep our role, but vanity, pride, laziness, negligence, the lack of veneration and respect make us incapable to respect this core. We want to become this sun and behave like this sun, and this creates an imbalance in the family, in the home. If we learn to stay in our place, in our family, to be sun when we need to be planets if we are planets, or to be small satellites if we are satellites, keep the role that corresponds to us and stay in the place that corresponds to us, whether in our family, in our work, in our political, religious, or mystical world, etc., everything will be much better. We must learn to be what suits us in all areas. If we can do this, we will see that everything works in a more harmonious, more balanced way, as the universe shows us. We have two fundamental laws that every Gnostic student must know. We must learn them to become well acquainted with them. These are the Law of Three and the Law of Seven, also known as the Law of Triamasikamno, the Law of Three, and the Law of Epta Palaparsinok, or the Law of Seven. Triamasikamno is the Law of Three. These two are eternal laws, universal laws. They exist all around us, on Earth, on Venus, on Mars, on Jupiter, and of course in the universe. What are they and what do they consist of? We can observe very curiously and admirably that each culture represents its divinity through a triad, a trinity, and it's very interesting. In Christianity, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit among the Maya, in the Popol Vuh. They call them Ratsa Kagulha, Shipi Kagulha, and Kagulha. In the Hebrew Kabbalah, we have Keter, Chokma, and Bina. In ancient India, we have Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So every culture we have a divinity formed by a triad, a trinity. This is precisely the Law of Three. The Law of Three creates everything that exists, everything that has existed, and everything that ever will exist. When these three forces unite, get united at a given point, then it comes creation, comes the formation of everything that exists. This is the law of three. The Father represents the positive force, the Son represents the negative force, and the Holy Spirit represents the neutral force. In a couple, in a family, the positive force is represented by the man, the feminine or negative force by the woman, and the neutral force by the loving act. When these three forces unite, creation comes. What is created, whether in the infinity, infinitely small, or the infinitely large, is created by the law of three, and everything that is created is organized in accordance with the law of seven. This is how we have seven fundamental dimensions: physical, vital, astral, mental, causal, the dimension of consciousness, and the dimension of the being. We also have seven human races that each planet must conceive, and each race has seven sub-races, and each sub-race has seven trunks, and so on and so forth. But everything is organized in accordance with the law of seven. Once again, the law of three creates, and the law of seven organizes or gives perfection to the creation. For example, we have seven main principal chakras, seven colors in the rainbow, seven musical notes. Everything is founded in accordance with the law of seven, with the number seven. It is for this reason that the seven has always been present in all cultures of the world, because it's something eternal, something which exists no matter where. This law really governs us, absolutely all. Another very interesting law to study and understand is the law of karma, and yes, we must understand it well. The word karma is a Sanskrit word which means cause and effect, action and consequence. We can say that there is a bad karma and a good karma. If we do positive things, it will bring positive consequences. If we do negative things, it will bring negative consequences. This law of karma is studied in Buddhism. It is also studied in India, and with great depth by the Tibetans. We also find it studied very deeply among the Egyptians when they speak of God Anubis, the great Enarch of the law, with his 42 judges of karma. What is written in the Egyptian Book of the Dead is very real. There really exists a character called Anubis. He is a master, a divine being. We can speak of an angel in the language of Christianity. He is infinitely perfect. He governs and organizes the law of karma. He has with him 42 masters who make this law manifest. It is a law of compensation, a law of balance, and this law is represented by a scale with two plates. On one side of the scale we place good works, good deeds, and on the other, the bad ones. If the good works on this scale have the same weight as the bad works placed on the other plate, what happens? Well, nothing at all. Everything, the bad consequences are cancelled by the good deeds. And also, the good consequences are cancelled by the bad deeds. So, we have a regular life in equilibrium. On the slide, on the image, we can see a representation of this scale in the Book of the Dead. We see on the left Anubis, and on the other side we see a deity who has the body of a hippopotamus and the head of a crocodile. And in the middle there is a scale where a head and a feather of a bird are weighed. A feather of an ostrich which is the symbol of the goddess of justice. As we have just said, if the weight of bad and good works is the same, nothing happens. If we do as many positive things as negative things, it balances out and everything is cancelled. The problem arises when our bad actions are more important or more numerous than our good action. That is what we do nowadays. In this subject, it is worth taking into account this action every day, the good ones as well as the bad ones. And we will be surprised. We lie, we criticize, we envy, we get angry. And when we see the good things we do that same day, well, we will have a hard time finding them, finding something good that we did during the day. Normally, our works or deeds are evil ones. So, diseases, suffering, pains, problems come. But if the plate of good works is heavier than the plate where the bad ones are found, which is very rare, the good karma arrives. And we also call it dharma. Dharma is also a Sanskrit word. It is the positive compensation for something good that one has done. This is the law of karma. We need to understand this balance well because, for example, if we don't have a job, if we have a lot of problems at home, if we have a lot of difficulties at work, if we get sick without stop, continuously, this means that the scales are tilting to the negative side, that many bad deeds have been done in our present life or in our previous life. We must pay for everything we have done, everything, absolutely everything. What should we do then? What would be the technique to avoid this? This is an axiomatic situation, an axiom which said, the lion of love is fight with the law of the scale. The lion of the law is karma. How can we fight it? Well, with a scale. That is to say, putting many, many, many deeds, good deeds, on the other scale, on the positive scale. We fight the lion of the law by doing many good deeds. That's the way to get out of there. If we are sick, we must try to heal or take care of others. If we do not have work, we must try to see how others can have a work, if it is within our possibilities. Of course, if we have a sick child, we must do everything to have him treated, to buy medicine, to see doctors, do all the necessary examinations, really do everything we can do to help him or help her. If this is within our possibilities, we must try to heal others, give them the means to others to be able to heal themselves and thus be able to balance the two scales. This way we can stop suffering so much. This is the law of karma. There are other laws which are very important and very interesting, such as the law of return, which is added to the law of karma. The law of return states that everything returns to its original or starting point. Everything. The days return. The nights also return. The seasons also return. The years have to return also, to start over again and again and again. So it will be strange if human beings, for those who do not believe in past life, did not come back either. The law of return is a law, yes, we always return, and this law unites with the law of karma. With each return, we reap everything we did in our previous life. Yes, we always reap the consequences of everything we did. It is for this reason that it is said that life is formed by the prints of the hoof of the horse of death. Life and death are intimately linked, connected. Our present life is the outcome of our previous life. This is the law of return. We have had other lives, we have had other existences, and if we do not remember them, it is because we are very degenerate, involuntary, unfortunately. We have horrible vices within us, which means that we have lost our faculties which would allow us to remember our previous lives. On the other hand, we can of course rediscover this faculty and realize that we have indeed had other existences, previous lives. The law of recurrence, also joins the law of return and the law of karma. This law makes everything repeat itself again. Everything is always repeating itself over and over. In the Eastern world, they call this the wheel of samsara. This wheel of samsara is also represented by the wheel of Ezekiel. This wheel of samsara or Ezekiel makes everything repeat itself constantly. This means that our previous life is the repetition of what happened in life from before, and that our present life is the repetition of our previous life. But this is repeated on a higher and lower or lower spiral. Imagine a stretched spring. The scenes repeat themselves, but they can be on a higher or lower level. It depends on our actions. Everything repeats. The scenes repeat themselves. The dramas, the tragedies repeat themselves. Everything repeats itself. Everything repeats constantly. For example, if we are a man, we meet a woman, we may seduce her, we get her pregnant, we cheat on her, and we abandon her with her baby, and we forget her. These are very, very bad deeds, perverse deeds, cowardly actions. But the fact, this scene, this works, these facts repeat themselves. So we start again in another life. We meet that person again, the scenes repeat, we meet them, we seduce them, but now it is up to us to reap what we have sown. All the harm that we did to this woman in our previous life, we will suffer the consequences. This is not a law of vengeance, it is a law of equilibrium. Of balance, we will reap all the negative of what we did. And now we will be humiliated, we will be abandoned, we will be deceived. This is how the law of recurrence works. The facts repeat themselves in addition to the consequences. If we have acted positively, if we have done something good, something transcendental, something to improve the family or the humanity, well, those facts will repeat themselves. Moments, scenes will repeat themselves again, because we will reap positive or transcendental things if we did a good, great deeds for our family or for humanity. That is the law of recurrence. We can therefore ensure that we prepare for our future. It is a law of recurrence which occurs not only life to life, but also over a shorter period of time. Recurrence also acts within every day. If we can write down what we did during the day, we can do it, for example, in a more detailed way for a month, by really writing down the more detailed description of what we live during the day. The time we got up, the time we had breakfast, etc., etc. If we have a quarrel, a negative emotion, whatever we did. If we do this for 30 days, we will notice that we almost always do the same things and at the same time. We go to work, we come back, we watch TV, and also we criticize others. We have the same feelings at the same time over and over. The law of recurrence is always present, day and night, all year round. This law does not only apply from life to life, but all the time, within our everyday life. We can therefore prepare for a future. And what does it mean to prepare for a future? This means that we can influence our future in a negative or a positive way right now. Do you want better things, better circumstances in your next life? That's great. So what can we do today? Let's treat our children as we would want our future parents to treat us in our next life. If we abandoned two or three children in the wild, we will have to suffer from this morally as well. We made these children suffer morally and economically because we abandoned them. We harmed that woman. All this suffering we will have to experience in our turn. All this suffering. The suffering of that woman, the mother, and the suffering of each child. All the suffering they felt, we will have to suffer in turn. So we will reap all that we have done. We must therefore make sure to influence our future, to influence it positively. And of course we can do it. To summarize these three laws, the great initiate Buddha tells us, do you want to know your past? Of course we all want to know our past. That's why we are here, don't we? We are here to get to learn the techniques, the practices, to wake our consciousness and get to know our previous lives. Why not? Well, Master Buddha says, do you want to know your past? Become aware of your present life. Because the present is the result, the outcome of the past. If in our present life we have a lot of difficulties with our boss, this means that in a past life we made our own employees suffer. When we ourselves were the chief bosses, we can know our past perfectly by knowing our present. Master Buddha also tells us, do you want to know your future? Of course we want. Of course we want. Well, the answer is the same. Do you want to know your future? Get to know your present. Because what we do will determine what our future will be. These are wonderful words which make us understand these three laws. Is another very interesting law that we must understand. That is the law of fall or the law of gravity. It is this which allows cosmic navigation in the universe. Millions and millions and millions of years ago, a very exalted being, we could say a divine being, an archangel called San Benona, established that with this law of the fall, the cosmic navigation was possible. But it must be emphasized that the cosmic navigation of planets between planets can only be possible for the humanities who no longer have an ego at all, no longer have a psychological ego at all, psychological defects. For humanities like ours, where there is a very strong ego, this is not possible to travel across the universe, because with the ego inside, we could contaminate other humanities, other worlds. We could destroy entire innocent humanities. So the fact, the permission, we could say, to travel in the cosmos is therefore not possible for humanities filled with ego. Free will is left to us, of course. If we want to destroy, well, that's our decision. We were allowed to go to the moon. We were also allowed to discover some deserts on the planet Mars, but when we discover that life exists on Venus or Mars, we will get there. It will be different. Remember, years ago, our scientists said that on Mars there could be no life. No life at all. But now we are told that water has been discovered on Mars. So if there is water, there is life. We are still very ignorant. We say that life on Venus is impossible and that there is no life on Mars either, even if water in the form of ice has been discovered there. Despite everything that we begin to discover, we continue to affirm that there is no life on Venus and on Mars. So the inhabitants of these two planets do everything possible not to be discovered, because they know the destructive nature that we have. They want to go unnoticed. They do everything possible with their advanced technology so that their existence it is not known, so that we do not see them. But there are many inhabitants living on Venus and on Mars. Well, the law of gravity, or the law of fall, is mentioned by the Archangel Saint Benona. It states that all beings that exist in the world fall downward, and that occurs in any part of the universe. This law has its internal aspects and its external aspect, as we see it with the law of gravity for the first part of this sentence. All things that exist in the world, that is to say on the earth, falls downwards towards the bottom. And then Saint Benona expands his explanation. In any part of the universe, that is to say between the earth and the moon, or between the earth and the sun, in any part of the universe, the bottom is in fact the stability, which is the closest. He explains that this stability is the place or the point on which converge all the lines of forces coming from all directions. For example, if we are near the moon, the closest point will be the point where the closest point will be the moon, where all the forces from all directions converge that are concentrated on the moon. But if we find ourselves on a point closer to the sun, the objects will be attracted by it. The forces that exist in the universe, on each planet, on each satellite, on each star, were wisely established by Saint Benona. For a long time, the cosmic ships, the cosmic vessels, operated with this force, which exists in the universe. Now, the source of motion are based on the law of continuous motion. We Earthlings imagine everything and everything about extraterrestrial according to the level of being, the psychological level we have inside. So we imagine the extraterrestrials or gigantic horrific creatures, or small with small people with gray or green skin, with enormous, with huge heads. But that is not the case. That kind of conception is the manifestation of everything we have in our interior, because we are people full of pride. We say, well, if those extraterrestrials beat us on the technical level, scientific field, well, at least they are horrible creatures. That is the way we think. They may be advanced civilization, but they are horrible physically. So, well, we repeat once again, cosmic navigation is only possible for the true man, the true humanity, who have no ego, who have completely disintegrated their psychological aggregates. There is also a law called the law of the pendulum. Let's imagine one of these large old clocks with its pendulum that goes to the right, then to the left, without stopping. This is how our emotions, our economic situation, optimism, pessimism, joy, sadness, loss, all these, our internal feelings, circumstances, is governed by this law of the pendulum. Let's take an example. We are reunited as a family, and it's great to be able to be together as a family. We are happy. It's a good time. But sometimes we identify so much with the jokes, the mockery, the ironies, rumors, that we are very moved negatively and not positively. The pendulums, this clock pendulum, is at this time located at one extreme, laughing, having jokes, etc. Being happy and joyful is absolutely not a crime. But bursting out laughing out loud is not something balanced. The pendulum swing is therefore positioned in one stream, and then it automatically swings back to the other side, towards the other extreme. If we were laughing, then we will be crying. This is the law of the pendulum. The further the pendulum goes to one extreme, the further it returns to the other extreme. And circumstances will mean that we will be on the other side at that point, and we will end up crying. Well, that is the law of the pendulum. We must learn to live consciously, to live in equilibrium, not getting identified, hypnotized, but one extreme or the other of the emotions, of the circumstances. Remember the 7 years of abundance in the ancient Egypt of the pharaohs. The 7 years clearly show the law of the pendulum. 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of drought. 7 years of fat cows and 7 years of lean cows. This clearly shows the law of the movement of the pendulum. So, the same as that story, as that legend of the 7 years of abundance and 7 years of drought, we must learn, as the pharaohs did, to be prepared. This law of the pendulum elevates and destroys nations. Some countries are at the peak and then they are in total bankruptcy. That is the law of the pendulum. So, to transcend this law, we must be in the middle. We must be in equilibrium. So, we can live much better in all areas, all fields. The family, health, emotional, work, etc. Another law is the law of transmigration of the souls. This is the esoteric aspect of the law of gravity, or the law of fall. Because everything goes downward, everything tends towards failing, towards the bottom, and we find it here. The essence, once it has passed through the mineral kingdom in its path of evolution, then enters the plant kingdom. Then, when the essence has learned everything that it has to be learned in that kingdom of the plants, then the essence passes, goes, enters the animal kingdom. After years and years, bodies and bodies, existences as any number of animals, then it is given the opportunity to enter into the human kingdom, and there the essence will be given 108 human lives, 108 existences, so that the essence can get the self-realization of the being. If we fail to achieve the self-realization during these 108 lives, human lives, the law of falls come into play. We enter into involution, devolution. When these 108 lives are over, our essence always enters into the animal kingdom once again, but in a involutive, devolving manner, then into the plant kingdom, then into the mineral kingdom, but devolving into lower and lower regions of nature. This is the law of transmigration. This is also a cycle in the wheel of samsara, the wheel of life and death. We first enter the mineral kingdom to learn the wisdom of this kingdom, then the kingdom of plants, later the kingdom of animals, then the human kingdom. Once there, we are given 108 lives to arrive to the self-realization of the being. So we must profit, we must take, make the most of this opportunity that we are given here and now. And if we don't get to achieve the self-realization, then we must continue our path of involution, going back on lower and lower kingdoms, regions of nature, to get the purification after living 108 lives as human beings and having developed a lot of egos. We must get purified. And everything that we have described is just one turn of the wheel of samsara. One turn. And we are given 300 turns of the wheel of samsara. So we must not think about living our life and waiting for the next one to start our interior development. No, my dear friends, we must start here and now. Because remember, we are setting the characteristics of our next life. If we let this opportunity pass and go away, we will do the same on the next life, and the next, and the next. So we must take the bull by the horns, take this opportunity and make the most of it, since that is the real objective of our life, achieving the self-realization of the being, developing all the opportunities, all the capacities, all the faculties of the human being by eliminating or psychological defects and awakening our consciousness. Well, let's continue. There is also the law of the Solionensis. The law of the Solionensis corresponds to the next cosmic phenomena. There is a neighboring solar system, and as every solar system, the star has to implement a weight force of gravity to keep the planets together, turning around it, right? And also the planets have some less strong, but they also have some force of gravity, and that keep them from colliding with its star, right? Well, this neighboring solar system receives the visit, is visited by a great huge comet called Solni. When this comet arrives, the planets on the star are forced to increase the electromagnetic force so that this new celestial body don't get to alter, to change, to modify their path, their structure, the order, right? So the planets and the star of this neighboring solar system have to increment, are forced to increment their electromagnetic force so they can continue their path together. This increase of electromagnetic force make us as human beings to feel the need to achieve the liberation. If we are if we are in a positive state, interior state, we receive those energies, those stimulus, those ideas, those forces of liberation, and we understand. We make the most out of them, and we use them so that we we work with more animosity, with more strength, with more enthusiasm into the path of liberation. So we continue to work, destroying, studying, meditating, and eliminating our egos or psychological defects using this positive force, this force of nature. But if we are in a balanced interior way, if we study the esoteric path, then we use this force to help our path, help our work. If we are a degenerated civilization, then the catastrophe arrives, because we feel the need to free ourselves, but we place the fault, we blame our authorities, and then comes revolutions, wars, etc., etc. So this happens in a mechanic way. The visit of the comet Solny to this neighboring solar system, but we must work to be prepared to receive these kind of influences from the space and use them in our favor. That is the law of the Solinensis, this influence that we receive because of the alteration of that neighboring solar system. There is also the law of epigenesis. It is the ability to provoke new circumstances, but this it does not concern us, because we already have a very established, let's say, life, because the deeds that we did on previous lives. So we have a path, a fate already traced. Let's say that we have the same kind of freedom that a musical instrument have once put in its case. And you know that a musical instrument had to be very well surrounded in its case so that it can't move and it can't get crushed, you know. So because of our psychological defects, because of our karma even, we have no great freedom so as to provoke new circumstances. That is only possible when we create a special superior body, solar body, that is called the causal solar body. This causal solar body will give us the opportunity and the consciousness as to provoke new circumstances, new relationships in our life. That is the law of epigenesis. But currently, we don't have it. In a further later lecture, we will teach about the practices, the techniques that can help us to create little by little this solar causal solar body and some other bodies, so that we can manifest into the superior dimension in a conscious way. Currently, we only have a lunar ghostly cold body currently, so that is of no use today, but we can change that by walking the path, the esoteric path, the path towards happiness, toward the divinity. There is also the cosmic, the auto-evocatic cosmic common law. This law means about, refers to the reciprocal nourishment throughout all the nature, all the universe. For example, we get some energy or some radiation from other planets, and also those other planets receive radiation from the metals that are in the interior of all planets. And this kind of radiation gives them some kind of nourishment. Also, this law applies within the life on Earth. Like, for example, when a tiger eats a rabbit, when an eagle eats a fish, there is the reciprocal nourishment in everything that exists in nature. This is the law of the common cosmic autocratic, autocratic cosmic common law, right? It is the reciprocal nourishment in everything in nature. Nothing in nature is wasted. All can be can be used, can be transformed to continue the cycle of life in nature. Nature is perfect. Another interesting law is the law of rounds. The planet Earth comes from higher dimensions. So, little by little, it is being, let's say, solidified. It's expressing and manifesting in lower and lower dimension. That is the law of round. On the first round, it is on the mental world, the mental dimension. In a second round, in the astral dimension. In a third round, on the etheric dimension. In a fourth round, on the physical plane, on the physical dimension. In a fifth round, it will come back to the etheric world, etheric dimension. On the sixth, back to the astral dimension. And on the seventh, life on this planet will manifest once again in the mental dimension. That is the law of rounds. But we should not confound it. We should not take it by the seven human races that exist on Earth. That does not occur hand to hand, right? For example, it is true that during the third human race exists on Earth. That is the race of the Lemurians that existed on the etheric plane, etheric dimension, where the Earth were manifesting on the etheric dimension. So, the first part of the Lemurian race were lived on the etheric dimension, but over there happened the fall. From which the Bible tells us when it says that the Adam and Eve were taken out of the paradise that represents the fall of the Lemurian race. Then it happened through many, many, many years, the manifestation of the fourth round, where the life of the planet Earth descended to the physical plane. Later in future, after many, many years, thousands of, or even millions of years, the life on Earth will go back to the etheric level. Those who may be prepared for it. It is not a mechanical thing for us. Those who are prepared will happen to leave that. Those who not, well, we will continue to be on the physical plane. But the most of the life will return to the etheric plane. And that is a law of rounds, right? Also, there exists the law of analogies, the law of opposites, the law of correspondence, and the law of numbers. Those laws are given to us so as we can interpret our own dreams. No one can interpret our dreams for us. No one could translate them to us because we all live different lives. We have different feelings, different experiences. So we have to learn how to translate, how to understand and interpret our dreams, right? So we can use these laws. For example, if we dream of rain, the raindrops are similar to tears, aren't they? So normally that tells us that we will have a problem which will cause us to have pain, to suffer. This is the law of analogies. The law of opposites, well, when we dream, for example, that we are given a piece of candy, if we understand that according to the circumstances we are living, the correct law to apply here is the law of opposites, well, that means that we will have bitterness. If we were given a candy, the opposite is bitterness. We must therefore interpret our dreams using this law in meditation, in a profound reflection according to our experiences, our circumstances, our feeling, etc. The law of correspondence is when you dream, for example, of a car. This car is not an analogy of our body that corresponds to it, because for us the car, the automobile, is a vehicle, but for our physical body is a vehicle to our soul, a vehicle of expression to our soul. Therefore the car corresponds to it, and the way the characteristic of this car that we are seeing on our dream corresponds to the circumstances or the future aspects of our body. If we dream, for example, a broken car, so that's an alert, so that we take care of our body right now, right? The law of numbers shows that each number is symbolic. The one represents the beginning, the will. The two represents favorable occult science, the divine mother, association, two. The number three represents material and spiritual production, art, beauty, etc. Each number has its own meaning. You must therefore interpret your dreams with using these four laws, because instructors, we do not interpret the dreams of others. Also, there are the law of evolution and the law of involutions. Those are laws which form the mechanical acts of nature. We are accustomed to always talk about evolution. We talk about how the economy, the science, the society evolves. But in reality, we see it contrary. We kill people, we commit crimes that even our current laws are not capable of covering, consider. So we are contaminating the world, taking animal and plant species into extinction, right? So, well, That shows us that as humanity, we are not evolving at all. On the contrary, if we see the habits, the way of thinking, the normalization of many, many crimes that we are living today, that make us think, that make us realize that we are not evolving, but on the contrary, we are devolving. So, everything in life has a time of evolution, of growth. It gets to its peak and then devolves. It grows old and dies. So that the same happens as any creature, a plant, a planet, an animal, a creature, and a human being, as humanity, and also as a soul. We talk about the way the soul has to live, the process of the soul to achieve the self-realization. It evolves, taking many bodies, human bodies, mineral kingdom, first in the mineral kingdom, also in the plant kingdom, later on the animal kingdom, evolving. Then we arrive to the human level, and then we have to devolve. We have to go back if we don't achieve the self-realization. To achieve the self-realization, being on the level of human being, we must apply a revolution of the consciousness. That is the path we have to walk, we have to live. And if we don't get to it, to the self-revolution, the self-realization, then we have to go back in the lower natural kingdom. There is also the law of equalization of vibration of many sources. You know, we have the three brains, five cylinders of the human machines, the thinking center, the emotional center, and the one that let us move, the motor center, the sexual center, and the instinctive center. So in every one of them, we have a level of values, let's say, some kind or some level of energy, of values, capacities. If we abuse of that center, we will then waste and lose the values, the energy. So if we abuse of our thinking center, falling into stress, falling into overthinking because of a problem, etc., we will end up with mental illnesses, manias, schizophrenia, paranoia, many personalities, etc. Those are the illnesses that we see today because of the stress that we are living in our society nowadays. And exactly the same thing happens with the values of our emotional center. If we are very emotional people, whether we feel sadness or joy or anger, if we are so emotional, if we fall into negative emotions so frequently, we will end up by wasting and losing the values of the emotional center, and that will take us to live to have illnesses. A heart attack, for example, gastritis, etc., etc., many illnesses. So, if we learn to live consciously, in balance, in equilibrium, then we will keep those values, those synergies of each one of those centers, intellectual center, the emotional center, the motor center, the instinctive center, and also the sexual center. So, we can live longer. You know, the humanity in Lemuria used to live 1200 years, even 1500 years a human being. We live, if we are lucky, 80 years nowadays. You see, that is possible by this law of equalization of vibration of many sources, living consciously, living in balance. The law of accident is also interesting to understand. It states that not everything in life depends on the karma. There are also accidents that can happen in our life. It is therefore necessary that we live more consciously, that we stop living hypnotized as we are used to living today. We don't realize what happens around us when we walk or on the street or when we drive a car. So if we think that our life is already written, we must reconsider that by learning that also exists the law of accidents. So we must learn to live once again consciously in this life. And also there exists the law of octaves. This law which says that everything in life is subject to this law. You know, the nature does not take leaps. Nature does not take leaps. It has to grow, it has to change little by little. As a tree, you have a tree in your garden and it takes years to grow, years to give fruits, right? So the same happens with everything we consider to start. There will be moments of troubles, and we must be prepared so as to surpass them. As you can see on this image of the musical notes, C, D, E, F, G, A, D, and then C once again. Well, there is a discontinuation between E and F. And the same happens in your daily life. If you consider, for example, to practice meditation, to follow this discipline, you can start, for example, practicing 3 minutes a day, then 45 minutes a day, and then you get to stay calm for 1 hour a day. That's great. In the beginning, you will be kind of overexcited to move. It will be hard to keep our body relaxed, but you can get to achieve this situation. Get your body to be relaxed and to be calm for 1 hour. Right. Then something harder have to be mastered, and that is to keep our mind quiet. Let's say that with some discipline and a lot of motivation, you get to calm your mind. And you continue your practices for 1 hour every day without skipping one day. Right? That is the discipline. Right. But you have passed the note C, the note D, the note E. But then comes a discontinuation of sound. And then arrive some troubles, some issues. For example, you must travel because of your work. You must travel to another city. And that represents that you will be taken out of your daily life, out of your habits, out of your house, of course, the situation that you have control already, so that you can have the time to meditate. You are taken out of it, and you must be so smart, so intelligent, so to be prepared and to take profit or make the most of the new situation that are presented to you, so you continue to your discipline. And you may be successful on that, but as you continue, according to the law of tap, the law of these musical notes, some other difficulties will present and will make difficult to continue your practice. But you must be prepared so as to take it to another level. And once you are there, some new difficulties will present. That is the law of octaves. And you be prepared to master them, to dominate them, so as to take your practice of meditation to another level, and so on and so forth. That is the law of octaves. The same happens if you want to study a career, to open a business. There will be some problems hard to surpass, but it is necessary so as to take it to another level. That is the law of octaves. Dear friends, this is the lecture about the laws, the cosmic laws. You can read or search for it on some of the works, some of the conference and books from Master Samael Aumbeor. Also, there's the magazine called The Wisdom of Being, The Wisdom of the Being, presented by the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute, number 39. Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great weekend. See you.